at the beginning of Parshas Baloschov, Vaydaber Hashem.
Jeremy and Gershon is overseas.
Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Limor, Daber el Aaron v'Amarta Elov. Baloschos Haneros el Mul Pnei Amnorah Yairu Shivas Haneros. Vayas Kein Aaron el Mul Pnei Amnorah Helo Neroser Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Now there's a machlokas in the Gemara Menachos exactly where in the Heichal the menorah was situated. According to one opinion, that's the opinion of Rebbe in Masechta Menachos, the menorah was situated from right to left, which means from Mizrach to Marav. And this seems to be reflected in Rashi. Rashi says, Ya'iru Shivas HaNeros, Shisha. He says, the six Neros on Sheshes HaKonim, Shlosha were Mizrachim, and he has Shlosha Maravim, so he's got three on the east, three on the west, and Ponim Lemul Hemtzoi. So these three candles on each side are turning towards the what's called the Ner Hemtzoi. That's Rashi Shita. The Gemara also quotes another opinion, and the Rambam seems to paskin like the other opinion, and that is that the menorah was situated north to south, not east to west, but north to south. Okay, so if we had time to go through the Gemara in Menachos, we would see that Rebbe holds that it was from east to west. And Rebbe actually has a raya, he has a proof from a pasuk at the end of Sefer Shmos. You know, that's where the Torah goes into details about the hadlokas ha-menorah. And there it says that the candles should be lit lifnei Hashem. And lifnei Hashem means towards the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah in the Kodesh Kadoshim was in the west. The Shekhinah is always in the west. So that's only possible, says Rebbe, if the Ner stood from east to west, not if it stood from north to south. The
so
Rambam
means it could be towards the Heichal, which would be.
I know you'd have to really, you know, study this with a map in order to see it in terms of which way it was. But if, let's say, the Heichal is situated towards the north, then the menorah would be not facing the end of the Heichal towards the Kodesh Kadosh, but rather would be east to west. If on the other hand you go with the Rambam Shita, he passes like the other day of Menachos, then it seems, and that's the Vilna Gaon you'll see on the top of the second column, he says the Rambam passes like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the menorah was located from north to south. The Torah says El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Na Ya'iru, and we say that that means that the Ner HaMtzoi was in the place where the Shekhinah was, which is in the Marav, which is in the west. So we're going to assume that according to the Rambam, the Ner Maravi was inclined towards the Shekhinah, towards the west. So you had, according to the Rambam, you had two sets of three candles, one from the north, one from the south, and the Ner Maravi itself was turned towards the Mairov. Whereas Rebbe holds, no, you have three on the east, three on the west, they're all pointing towards the middle candle, which is the Ner HaMaravi, and that's where the Shekhinah is. So now, according to Rebbe, when the Torah describes at the end of Shmos that the Neros are turned towards Lifnei Hashem, it means they're turned towards the Ner HaMaravi, which is Lifnei Hashem. In any event, what we want to study today is why is it that the menorah has to have seven candles, right? The Torah says, Baloschos Haneros Ya'iru Shivas Haneros. There are seven. What is the significance, the deeper meaning in the number seven? Furthermore, why is it that one Ner, the Ner HaEmtzoi, is singled out with a special significance that all the other Neros are bent towards the Ner Maravi? Yeah. What is the chashivus of this middle candle, the Ner Maravi? So as you know the style, we're going to put the original questions on the back burners and we're going to plunge into a slightly different sugya. Okay. the middle of Parshas Baaloscha, we have a what's called the Nunin Hafuchin, the upside down Nunin, and they set aside two psukim. One pasuk is Vayhi ben So Aaron, and the other pasuk is Ubinucha Yomar. And Chazal say that the reason why there are Nunin on both sides, because they set off these two psukim as a parsha unto itself. Now, normally a parsha is very large, very long. In this case, the parsha is very short. It's actually made up of 85 letters, that's all. And according to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, in the Gemara in Shabbos, which you'll see on the top left of the last column, he's of the opinion, Rebbe, that Mipneisha Sefer Choshev Bifnei Atzma, the reason for these Nunin is because these two psukim form a Sefer unto itself, which means there are seven Svarim. We assume there are five Svarim, starting with Bereishis and ending with Dvarim. That's not so according to Rebbe, because the beginning of Bamidbar, up until Vayhi ben So Aaron, is the fourth Sefer. Vayhi ben So Aaron is the fifth Sefer. The balance of Bamidbar is going to be the sixth, and then Dvarim is going to be the seventh. Now, it's very interesting, because even if you don't hold as far as Rebbe, if you don't want to go that far, as we asked before, the parasha itself is very strange to have such a short parasha. But if you go like Rebbe, the question is even more severe, so to speak. How could it be that we have a Sefer Bifnei Atzmo that's made up of 85 letters? A whole Sefer. All the other Svarim are much longer. And the Chidah writes that the Nunim Hafuchim have a reflection on what's called the 50th Shar Bina. We know that there are 50 gates of wisdom, and the number 50, of course, is a Nun. So the Nunin in this book of two psukim of 85 letters indicate that the Shari Bina, the ultimate gate of wisdom, is incorporated in these two psukim, in the 85 letters that are set aside by these two Nunim, and the Nunim are pointing to the fact that these 85 letters contain within them the 50th, which is the highest Shar of Bina. So we have a number of questions over here. Number one, we asked about the menorah. Why is it seven? Why is there a chashivas to the middle candle? Yes. Now we're asking about this special two psukim unit, which is set aside by two Nunim. What is so significant that it's considered a parasha, it's considered even a sefer, it's considered, according to the Chidah, a remez for the 50th, the highest Shar Bina, when it's made up of 85 letters? And this point, I'd like you to turn to the other side of your page.
Page 2.
On the bottom it'll say Beis. Just flip your page, or if you have the original, then it'll be a different page. And we have a principle based on the Gemara in Irvin called Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that both opinions are Divrei Elokim. One opinion in this case says that Vayhi ben So Aaron is a parasha, but it's just out of place. The other opinion is that Vayhi ben So Aaron is a sefer unto itself, but again, it seems to be out of place. So what are these two views? How do we reconcile them? How do we understand them? What are they arguing about? How do we say Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim? Let's turn back to what we started with today, the mitzvah, the command of Baaloscha Es HaNeros, here at the beginning of our parasha. The Medrash makes the following comment, that this pasuk, Baaloscha Es HaNeros, should be connected with a different pasuk in Yeshayahu Anovi, Hashem Chafetz Laman Tzidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Now, the subject of the pasuk in Yeshayahu is the great spreading of Torah, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir, and it will be a powerful impact. This is what Hashem wants. And on that, the Medrash comments that God says to Moshe, I don't need these Neros, I'm only commanding you on the mitzvah of Neros for your benefit. And if you'll be careful about the mitzvah of lighting the Neros, then I will be Meir Lachem, I will give you a light, Ora Gidola Li Asid Lava. And what is this Ora Gidola, this great light, Li Osid Lavo, and most important in this Medrash is to try to reveal some sort of connection here between Hashem Chafetz Man Tzidko and Baloscha Es HaNeros. Now Rashi asks a question which is very famous, and that is the Parsha of the Menorah is juxtaposed immediately after, contiguous to the previous Parsha of the Nesiim. What is the connection of the Smichus HaParshios? Rashi says that Aaron was not, and his Shevet were not part of the Chanukas HaNesiim, or the Chanukah, all the Karbonos that were brought, and Aaron was suffering from a little bit of Chalishus Adas. He got weak, so to speak. He got a little bit down or despondent. And why is it that he's left out? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give a comfort, so to speak, to Aaron. And he says, Shalcha gedola meshalahem. Your mitzvah is even greater than theirs. You're going to be madlik umeitiv es haneros. So we want to understand, what is so great about this mitzvah of the Neros? After all, the parsha of the Karbonos HaNesiim is a very long, intricate parsha. Karbonos is the essence of the Mizbeach, of the Beis HaMikdash, and with all the respect to lighting the candelabra, why is that a greater mitzvah than the Karbonos? Shalcha gedola mishalahem, that yours is even greater than theirs. Rashi hints at a longer medrash. You know, this Rashi very often will allude to the fact that there is a longer discussion in the medrash. Rashi's Pirush al Torah is meant to be very concise, very abridged. And if we go back to the medrash itself, in its original, it seems that the reason why Hadlokas HaMeneros is greater than the Karbonos is because Karbonos kol zman shebeis hamikdash kaimim noagin. The Karbonos belong to a time limited mitzvah. They depend upon the time period in which the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Once the Beis HaMikdash is gone, the mitzvah of Karbonos is gone. Aval haneros li'olam el mul p'nei hamenorah iru. Even after the destruction of the Mikdash, there will be a menorah. And the Ramban is very perplexed by this. Rashi left it out, but in the original Medrash, it's there. And the Ramban asks, wait a minute, Yodua, we know that if there's no Beis HaMikdash and the Karbonos of Batel, so too there's no Neros. We don't have a candelabra outside the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore the Ramban is compelled to assume that the mitzvah of Baloscha Saneros continues in a different form even after Churban, and that is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, according to Ramban, is somehow connected to the original mitzvah Baloscha HaNeros, the original mitzvah which was limited to the Beis HaMikdash, and it would not apply after the Churban, but that mitzvah would continue in our Golos in a different form, and that would be the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Thus, the mitzvah Baloscha HaNeros is really a mitzvah that extends even beyond the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. As opposed to Karbonos, we don't have any mitzvah of Karbonos today, not even a vestige of that mitzvah. We have a vestige of the original mitzvah of Baloscha HaNeros in the form of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Again, it's only 8 days out of the year, and it's not the Kohanim, it's not in the Beis HaMikdash, etc., etc. But there is some sort of connection between Ner Chanukah and the original mitzvah of Baloscha Es HaNeros. The Ramban.
Ramban.
With a nun at the end. Nachmanides. And this you'll see on the bottom right on page 2. And he summarized it on the very top of the middle column. So now we have an interesting parasha in which God comes to console Aaron and he gives him a mitzvah of Baloscha HaNeros, which in some sense is greater than the mitzvah of Karbonos of the Nesiim at the end of Parashas Noso. And that seems to mean that there's some connection between the menorah and what happens even after the Churban HaBayis, sort of linking us to the Zman HaGolus. The Ramban says that link is through the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, which applies even Golus, even after we go into exile. But we might find another explanation as to why Balosus HaNeros continues even after the Churban and connects us to the La'asid Lavo, to the time of Golus. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Bava Basra that Harotze Sheyachkim Yajrim, when a person stands Shmon Esrei, he turns towards the east. But if he wants Chachma, he has a special prayer and supplication for Chachma, then he should turn his body a little bit towards the south. So he's looking basically east, and that's the Mizrach, but nevertheless, he bends his body a little bit towards the south. Why? Because the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal, was on the southern side.
Yes.
Now the question is obvious. This Gemara, which is codified in Shulchan Aruch, is referring to Golus, is referring to today. Today, long after the Churban Abayis and the menorah is gone, nevertheless you should turn towards the south, where the menorah stood in the Beis HaMikdash. It would seem, therefore, that when Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah, somehow those lights, which are the lights of Chachma, of wisdom, will continue to be lit even after the Churban HaBayis. And that means that the wisdom that Aaron is, let's put it this way, the wisdom that's embodied or inherent in the menorah is going to light up our horizon for all times, for all of posterity, even after the Churban HaBayis. And that's called Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, that the Ner of Mitzvah and the Or of Torah are going to continue based on Aaron's original Mitzvah. So when we stand Shmon Esrei, we look and we pray for Chachma, we turn towards the place, or at least that locate that side where Aaron was lighting, as if to say that Aaron's lights that he lit in the Beis HaMikdash and the menorah are still somehow active. They're still somehow being mashpia. They're still somehow generating the R of Torah for Klal Yisrael. So that when we turn towards the Mizrach, we're remembering and connecting with the R of the menorah, which is the R of Torah and Chachma. So we want to get that Chachma, we turn towards the south. That's where the menorah stood in the Beis HaMikdash. So we begin to get a glimpse of the greatness of Aaron. You know, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Aaron says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I didn't take part in the Chanukah Samzbeach of the Nisim, I didn't bring the Korbanos, I'm getting Chalish Sadas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, your mitzvah is going to have such an impact. Your sanctity, Aaron, is so great that even after Churban HaBayis, your mitzvah of Balos Saneros in some conceptual world is still ongoing. What does it mean it's ongoing? The R that was generated by Aaron HaKohen when he lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is still mayor. It's still a light that continues endlessly, you know, for all of posterity. So therefore, I can still link up with that R, and that's the Torah R that will give me Chachma if I turn, in this case, the school is to turn towards the south where the light of Aaron's menorah was. It makes sense, by the way, that Aaron is chosen. He's singled out for the R of Torah because, as we say at the end of Tanakh, Malachi says, "Ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das v'tori vakish mipiyu." And this kohen is Aaron HaKohen. He's the one who is going to be he and his descendants, the teachers and the spreaders of the transmitters of Torah. Tori yivakish mipiyu. That's the great kedusha of Aaron when he lights the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That R is going to continue. there's Hamshacha, there's a continuation of that Or, not only during the time the Mikdash stood and they lit the menorah, but even long after the destruction of the temple, they no longer lit the menorah in the Mikdash. As long as there are people who want to get this Chachma of Torah, their Eitzah, their counsel them to look towards the Dorom, they should be mispal towards that side where Aaron was madlik as a menorah at the time the Mikdash stood, and in such a way they can tap in to that R, because that R is an R gadol that still continues to exist. Again, this is all on a conceptual level. Obviously, you can look to the south from now till doomsday, you're not going to see the R of the adlok of Aaron in Balos Tesaneros. But the R as a spiritual entity is infinite, is immortal, and it's perennial, meaning it exists throughout all of history. And we can link up with that R, again, way after the time of the Churban HaBayis, and get that Chachma by Harotza Sheyachim Yadrim. So the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to calm Aaron down. Al tisyari l'gdolah mizu mesukon. HaKarbonos kol zman shebeis hamikdash kaimim nogim. Aval aneros li'olam el b'nei p'nei hamenorah ya'iru. Li'olam ya'iru means that even after the Churban they will still give that light. And that expresses itself in the fact that a Jewish person can pray towards that light by turning towards the south. And he'll be zochet to keep pulling and pulling the R of Torah, to be mamshich the R of Torah onto himself. And this is perhaps the connection between the pasuk in Yeshaya that the Medrash quotes and the mitzvah balos chaneros. The subject of the parsha in Yeshayahu Anavi is hagdolas haTorah. What does that have to do with the mitzvah of Baloskas Haneros? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, through your Hadlokas Haneros and Imeir Lachem Ora Gedola Liasid Lava. What is this, the Ora Gedola? And the answer is, this is the Or of Torah. Aaron HaKohen, when he lights the menorah, is giving us the light of Torah, a supernal, an infinite light, and that light is Hashem Chafetz Man Sidko Yadil Torah V'Yadir. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aaron, you should know, you have a power, you have a mitzvah that's absolutely unique, and it's going to create some entity that's going to continue to have an impact for all of eternity. And that is the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. That light of the menorah is going to facilitate, it's going to make possible Yadil Torah V'Yadir. That light is continued to exist in some spiritual form even after the Churban, and Klal Yisrael can tap into that light. Lahagdil Torah Uladira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Hagdolas HaTorah, Lahagdil Torah, for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And that is that Klal Yisrael are able to continue to pull along, so to speak, and spread the Or HaTorah, which is still in existence as a result of the mitzvah that Aaron fulfilled when he lit the menorah Balos Ches HaNeros. So we really have a mind-boggling concept here that Aaron's mitzvah is a great mitzvah, it's a single mitzvah, and it's connected to Torah, and it's not limited to the Beis HaMikdash. The connection between the menorah and the Torah continues even post Churban HaBayis, and a Jew has the ability to link into that R HaTorah, the R of Baloscha, by turning towards the Dorom when he davens. And not only that, but this is a kiyum, and this makes it possible for Hashem Chafetz Man Tzidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. The continuation of Hagdolas HaTorah is a result of the original Hadlaka of Aaron in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That light that Aaron created is a light that lights up our horizons. Even today we can link up with that light. It is the light of Torah and Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Now at this point, we want to understand why there are seven Neros. You remember that question? And also, what was the significance of the Ner HaEmtzai. So for that we want to turn to page 4. And we want to see a chiddush of Rav Michal. This Rav Michal comes from a town in Poland called Zlachow. So next time you're in Poland, look for Zlachow. There are signs that'll say, this is Rabbeinu Baruch's kever in Zlachow. I just made that up. But anyway, this is Rav Michal from Zlachow. Honestly, this is the first time I got an exposure to his Torah, and I'm very impressed. What happens? We go back to the original pasuk that we started with, and the Torah says, Vayas Kein Aaron. Aaron is commanded in this mitzvah of the menorah, Baloska Esaneros, and Vayas Kein Aaron. Very strange. The Torah testifies that Aaron did Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. What is this all about? We never found anywhere in the Torah that Aaron got a command, and the Torah has to testify to the fact that Aaron fulfilled that command. And not only that, Rashi adds another element here. Rashi says, "Lahagid shvacho shel Aaron." This is a great praise for Aaron Shaloshina, that he didn't deviate from the mandate. He did exactly as he was told. So the obvious question, which not only Rabbeinu Baruch, Rabbeinu Michal,
yeah, he would have the chutzpah not to do as I said.
Right, we have to be meshabeach Aaron that he fulfilled, that he didn't deviate. I mean, what was the havamina that he would deviate? And this is going to be an amazing chiddush of Rav Michal, and he says the following. Now, if you want to see the text, because sometimes I know you like to underline it and highlight it, we're on page 3. And we're looking at the second paragraph, which starts with the word Shamati. And we're quoting Rabbeinu Michal of Zlachow. And he says the following, that when the Torah testifies to the fact that Aaron fulfilled this great mitzvah of El Mul Pnei Han Menorah Ya'iru, what the Torah is testifying is that Aaron was able to achieve something amazing, absolutely amazing. What's so great about it? What's the challenge? Says Rav Michal, Ein hadibur yachol lahachil kol seichel shel adam. Are you seeing that? Are you underlining it? This is in the paragraph Shamati. If you count up from the bottom of that paragraph, 3 lines, you'll see Di'ein Hadibur Yochel Lahachil Kol HaSeichel Shel HaAdam. What does that mean? Honestly, it's Chinese. And I don't know any Chinese. What it means is, I mean, the closest thing I got to knowing Chinese is when I went to a Chinese doctor. And he charged me 600 shekel, but that's a different issue. I'm not sure if my stomach is in better shape because of that. But be that as it may, let's try to take this apart. Let's try to dissect the words of the holy Rav Michal from Zlachow. And he's telling us the following. When you have something in your mind and you want to transmit it to someone, what do you use? What part of your body is going to be used in order to transmit your ideas? Everybody? Now you have something in your brain. You want to transmit it and share it with me. What part of your body is going to be critical now? The pair, right? The mouth. That's called dibur. Guess what? Dibur is not capable of transmitting more than 1/8 of what you have in your mind. How do I know this? From Rav Michal Mizlachow. I never knew this before. The human mind has a broad capacity, but the mouth has a more limited capacity. You cannot express in words everything that you have in your mind. The best you can hope for, he says, is 1/8. So the listener who's trying to receive your intelligence is only getting 1/8 of what you have in your mind. So when a person speaks to his friend, his friend could not possibly comprehend what's going on in the seichel, the mind of the speaker. The only way he could understand the mind of the speaker is through the mouth, through dibur. But the dibur itself has the capacity, maximum capacity, of 1/8. So therefore, if you give me a command, I can only hope to fulfill 1/8 of the command. Let's apply this now to Moshe Rabbeinu giving a command from Hashem to Aaron. What percentage, what fraction of the dibur, I mean to say of the seichel, could Aaron possibly fulfill? Well, he can only understand 1/8. So then Moshe gets a command from Hashem to build the menorah. Hashem understands Moshe's incredible intelligence. So even though Hashem's dibur is only able to communicate a fraction of what Hashem has in his seichel, his with a capital H, nevertheless he knows Moshe, and he knows and he understands that Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to comprehend the entirety of what Hashem has in his mind. But now Moshe has to command it to Aaron. So he now takes all of this knowledge, all of the seichel, and he restricts it, he constricts it into dibur, which is only 1/8 of what he has in his mind. So at this point, since Moshe Rabbeinu can only communicate to Aaron 1/8 of what he has in his mind, then it's not possible for Aaron to fulfill the mitzvah of Moshe the way it was given. In other words, God gave it to Moshe in a way that Moshe was able to understand it and comprehend it. But when Moshe converts his knowledge, his understanding to dibur, then he loses 7/8 on the way. The answer is, and this is three lines above the bottom of your right column, if you want to underline this, Mipnei Sha'aron Kayachacham Gadol. Aaron is what you call the epitome or the personification of Bina. Bina means when you say something and I understand what you really mean. That's what they say, the women have a special uncanny intuition to understand what their husbands really mean, because their husbands never say what they mean. But my claim is that the women never say what they mean either. But anyway, so that's Bina Yaseir Nidalisha. So we have now Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is endowed with an amazing ability of Bina. And that means that he's Maven Miloshim Bina, Mitoch Diburo, Haseichel Shel Moshe. What does it mean, Haseichel Shel Moshe? The entire mental understanding of Moshe. So all Moshe is able to give to Aaron is the Ktzeh HaMazleg. He's only able to give 1/8. But Aaron takes on that 1/8. And from that he understands the entire corpus of what was in Moshe's understanding. And that's what it means in the Pasuk, Vayaskein Aaron, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, that Aaron was able to fulfill the exact, without dropping any iota, the exact command of Hashem to Moshe. Even though Hashem understood that Moshe could understand, Moshe, on the other hand, has to express himself in words and transmit 1/8 of what he understood. But nevertheless, the greatness of Aaron in his wisdom is that he's capable of understanding the entire seichel of Moshe, even though he only received officially 1/8 of that seichel. And that's called, in Rashi's language, lahagid shmacho shel Aaron, shaloshina. What does it mean, shaloshina? Was the habavina that Aaron would deviate from his command? The answer is shaloshina means that he didn't deviate from what Moshe had in his mind, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in his mind, and he fulfilled the entire tzivui based on his understanding of the seichel, even though he only got in dibur 1/8 of what was in the mind of Hashem, was in the mind of Moshe. He was able to fill in 7/8 of the missing puzzle. Now, where did Rabbeinu Michal from Zlachev get this idea from, that a person is only able to communicate in words 1/8 of what he has in his mind? And the answer is, this is based on a Tana by the name of Rab Nechunya ben Akana, who authored a book called Sefer Akana. He named it after his father. And in this book, the Sefer Akana tries to understand and interpret a Gemara in Brachos, a very famous Gemara about the Midah of Gaiva. You know that the Gemara is not too excited about the Midah of Gaiva. I'm sorry, it's the Gemara in Sota. I made a mistake. So the Gemara in Sota about humility says the following: Talmid Chacham Tzarech Shehebo Echad Mishmona B'Shminis, 1/8 of an eighth, which I believe would be 1/64. Rashi says will allow him a little gaiva. How much gaiva? When he pats himself on the back and he gives himself a nod of approval, so to speak, and he boasts about his achievement, will give him up to 1/64. Wow. Pretty stingy, right? That's a very small percentage, right? How much is that? Less than 2%, right? That's the extent of the allowance for bragging for gaiva. Wow. Says the Sefer HaKana, you know what that means? It means the following: you are a Talmud Chacham, you sat at the feet of your Rebbe. Your Rebbe gave you 1/8 of what he had in his mind. That was the maximum that he could transmit to you through Dibur. That's the Sefer HaKana, one of the Tanoim, Rav Nechunya ben HaKana says. Now, the language of the Rebbe contains 1/8 of the Seichel, of the understanding of the Rebbe. From that Dibur of the Rebbe, the Talmud is only capable of understanding 1/8 of what his Rebbe said, which is 1/64 of what the Rebbe had in his mind. So if you as a Talmud want to boast about all the Torah that you learned, well, you know what? You learned 1/64. And a Talmud Chacham has to understand that he can only comprehend 1/8 over 1/8 of his Rebbe, because his Rebbe himself can only communicate 1/8, and the Dibur itself could be only understood as transmitting 1/8. So don't be such a Balgaiva. You know, you'll say, well, I learned at the feet of Rabbi Soloveitchik, so I'm a big shot. I have a lot of friends who, you know, boast about the fact that they sat at the feet of Rabbi Soloveitchik, but you should know at the end of the day, what percentage of Rabbi Soloveitchik's knowledge did you comprehend? The answer is 1/64. So don't be patting yourself on the back.
Wow.
Doc, are you with me or you're... I guess, okay, fine. Are you with me? Well, I didn't know. Because sometimes, I have, not you, but I have people in my class who, they don't even get to 1/64. They're dreaming about other things. Okay. In any event, we have a whole new explanation of the famous Gemara in Sota about Gaiva. The Gemara says that Talmud Chacham has 1/8 over 1/8 of Gaiva. That's called Shminis, Shevishminis. What it means is that he can boast about 1/8 over 1/8 of knowledge that he received from his Rebbe. Of course, that's the maximum amount that he could receive. Now, let's get back to Rabbeinu Michal.
That's 1/64.
1/64. That's what I meant to say. Did I not say that?
Yeah.
All right. 1/64. I think that's less than 2%. Am I right? If I'm not a mathematician. I don't know exactly how much, but like 1.20%. I don't know, you can work it out again, but it's a very small percentage. It's less than shishim. It's bottle, you know what I'm saying? 1/64 is less than 1/60, so it's bottle. So don't boast about what you know from your Rebbe. Again, when I say your Rebbe, I don't mean your Rebbe who's translating words. I mean your Rebbe who has a deep, profound understanding of the Torah and he's trying to convey that to you. So you'll be lucky if you get 1/64.
0.15.
0.15. So it's like 0.15. Oh, that's like 1.5%. Am I right? Okay. So let's go weiter in Rabbeinu Michal Mizlochev. This is on the top left column, and there's a pasuk in the parash of Kitov. It says Baruch Tanacha Umishartecha. Now these are in the blessings. You know, if we fulfill the Torah. Look at the word tanecha umishar artecha. Right, tanecha is really a basket that you have full of fruits, and mishar artecha means the leftovers, so to speak. So Rabbeinu Michal says the following: that this bracha is the bracha that we want to bestow on the Rav, who is part of the transmission of Torah. He's teaching his students Torah. Now, if you take the word tena, and it's a notrika, and you take the test, the nun and the aleph, this represents 1/8 over 1/8. These are the tamim, the nekudos, and the osios. Tests of tana of tena is for tamim, nun of tena is for nekudos, and the aleph is for osios. So these represent a very small fraction of what the seichel of the Rav contains, meaning all the knowledge and wisdom that he has in his mind. He's only really able to give over in words a small fraction, let's call it 1.5% of what he has in his mind. And that's called tamim, nekudos, and osios. You know, this is a very small fraction. However, the end of this bracha is mish'arotecha, the leftovers. What are the leftovers? That's the balance. You know, the other 1 over 64, right? And I mean, say, 63 over 64. The 63 over 64 is called mish'arotecha. Those are the parts of the Torah that remained in his seichel. And the bracha here to the Brav is that he should be able to transmit all of his Torah. Even mish'arosecha, even what's left in his brain, that means his talmidim will be so sharp, and they will have such a solid, profound sense of intuition, that from 1/64th of what they get from the Rebbe, they're able to get the other 63 over 64, which is left in the mind of the Rebbe. Therefore, says Rav Michal Mizlachov, Hine, Bevadei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Moshe Maisa Menorah V'Kavanosu L'Kefi HaSogis Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeros with all of its, you know, the whole Torah that was in God's mind, even the secret parts of the Torah, because Hashem understood that Moshe was Mesugal. He had the capacity to understand and comprehend all of that. That's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. So in the Maseiros HaTorah from Hashem to Moshe, regarding Hadlokas HaMenorah, Moshe receives the entire corpus of God's knowledge. It's mind-boggling to think about that. But now, says Rabbeinu Michal, Moshe Rabbeinu is in a predicament. He's in a pickle. Why? Because he has to now transmit this to Aaron. Because Aaron is the one who's commanded to light the menorah. How can he do so? He can only use the power of speech. But the power of speech is only capable of getting 1/8 of what Moshe has in his mind. And from this, Aaron has to understand whatever he can understand. Only a small fraction. The Lohoya Efshali Aaron, Lasos Kamo Tziva, we're in a real bind over here. Avol mipnei she'aron ha'yachachem gadol v'yameivin mitoch diburo ha'seichel shel Moshe, through the dibur that Aaron heard, he was able to comprehend the seichel of Moshe. He had an all-inclusive, comprehensive understanding of the tzivui, and hence the Torah testifies kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe shaloshina.
Wow, so that's why
pretty wild, no?
So that's why he was praised, because he was able to do that.
He was able to do that. So the implementation of this mitzvah on Aaron's part was exactly what Hashem had in mind. Because Aaron, with his insight and his incredible intuition, was able to comprehend from 1/8 the entire package. All 7/8.
Hence, Moshe was a good teacher too.
Correct, but still, you know, the rule applies universally, even to Moshe, that all you can give over from your mind is 1/8. But through that 1/8, Aaron was able to comprehend the other 7/8 and comprehend the entire Seichel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does Aaron do? He takes this mitzvah, he understands all of the mitzvah, exactly what Hashem had in mind, he implements the mitzvah, and he creates a light. That light is the light of Torah. And now anyone throughout any generation could link up and connect to that light that Aaron created in the Heichal, in the menorah. How? Because Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. Aaron has a mitzvah of creating a light, and that light is going to last even after the Churban HaBayis. How do I, today, in the year Tovshinayin Tes, how do I link up with that light? Is Harotza Shiachim Yadrim. I can link up with the light by turning myself towards the south where the menorah stood in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the next section here, which begins with Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen and the Baal HaTanya, this is very profound. I'm trying to make a quick decision on the spot, looking at the clock, if maybe we should summarize it.
Okay.
Because to go through it would take a lot of time, which we don't have. So let me see if I could just highlight it. I'm on page 4 now. And the principle here is that man somehow, through understanding himself, his body, the parts of his body, understanding his psyche, is able to understand God. Are you with me on this? Again, we would have to spend a lot of time on this.
Yes.
But basically, if man is created B'Tselem Elokim, so he's an image of God.
Right.
If you want to get an image of God, you look at man, because man is in the image of God. Do we have that again?
Yes.
I could elaborate on that, but it would take a long time. Now, if we look at man, then we could understand something about God. Why? Because man is a reflection, he's in the image of God.
Yes.
Let's look at man. What percentage of man's seichel is he capable of communicating through dibur? 1/8. By looking into man, we get a glimpse of God, because again, man is the image of God. So when God tries to, that's a funny word, but when God communicates to man, what percentage of God's understanding of his seichel is he communicating to man? And the answer is 1/8. Because this we learn from ourselves, from the human being, from the Tzelem Elokim. If man is only capable of communicating 1/8 of what he has in his seichel, then that reflects upon Almighty God that the deity also communicates 1/8 of what he has in mind. Now, and at the face of it, this is very paradoxical. God wants us to understand the entire Torah, does he not? And yet, we're saying that he's giving over 1/8 of the Torah, of the knowledge, the divine knowledge that he has, that's embodied in the Torah. The answer is amelus. God wants man to work very hard. What now is man challenged to do? Hello? Anybody? I'm looking for a fraction.
Limb.
What?
Limb.
No, but I'm asking for a fraction. God is giving over 1/8 of his seichel. But man is called upon to sweat and toil until he can do what? Exactly 7/8. Man has to fill in another 7/8.
Wow.
This is going to be the secret of the menorah, of the 7 candles of the menorah.
And then 7/8, you'll get the Chanukah candles and the 8 as well. I don't know if he says that.
Yeah, the 8th candle of the menorah on Chanukah is going to be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. You know, that's the 1/8 that Hashem gives us. The other 7 is what we have to figure out on our own. And he says that this, you can derive this from a bracha that we recite every morning in Shacharis. The bracha says, HaMelech HaMeromam Levado Me'oz. So we're going to take the word Me'oz, and we're going to break it into its component parts. There's an Aleph, and there's a Zion. And God is Merumam Levado, May from us. The Aleph represents the Seichel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zion represents the parts of God's wisdom which are not communicated to man directly. And he quotes here the Bnei Yisoskar and Igra de Kala, which is on the bottom right in black print, the Nirli Sodo Al Pima Shekosav Eitzel HaMelech HaMrom Levado Me'oz Shehu HaSeichel HaPoshut Shebemoach. Seichel HaPoshut Shebemoach means the divine understanding. Hamis Aleph, so that's the Aleph. Umashpia Lizayin Sha'orim. We have now seven gates to try to understand the Aleph of the Seichel Shebemach. We have number one, the two eyes, number two, the two ears, then we have the two nostrils, and then we have the mouth, totaling seven. What's happening is that there's the Aleph, which is the Seichel, and then there's the seven of Zion, the Aleph, after the Aleph is a Zion, which represents the seven gates of knowledge, so to speak. These are the seven ways that we can take God's knowledge and ultimately transmit them through our mouths. So when we say Hamelech Hamromam Levado Me'oz, where we're describing the King of the Universe as Meshubach U'Mefo'ar Misnasei Mimos Olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to man only one eighth, right? You have the Aleph of and then the Zion, Oz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals only one eighth of the Oz, and the Tachlis, the ultimate purpose, is that we should use our seven gates to add and understand through Yegiyas HaTorah, reveal the other seven eighths that Hashem has not revealed to us. Now we'll have to stop soon, but let's at least see if we could do the paragraph in the middle of page 4 going on to the left column. And this is going to link us up to the seven Neros. We said that Aaron's great mitzvah is to create through these seven Neros an or, a light, that continues to burn even today after the Churban HaRotze Shiachim Yadrim. You could link up and connect with the or of Aaron's lighting in the menorah, which is the or of Torah, by looking towards, praying towards the south. Excellent. And the Medrash says that the Asu Aaron, that there's a mitzvah not only to create the menorah, but also to create the Aaron. And what's in the Aaron? In the Aaron is the Luchos HaBris. Now here, unlike all the other Kalim in the Mishkan, the Torah uses the command is in the language of plural, V'asu Aaron. Why is it Vasu Aaron? The Medrash says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is addressing all of Klal Yisrael and saying that the Torah that's contained in the Luchos HaBris is accessible to everyone. Wow. Right? Every single Jew is part of the Asiyas HaAron. He has a connection to the Aron, to the Torah that's in the Aron. Kedesha Yizku Kulam Li Aron. So in any event, the bottom line is that building the Aron is a remez to the Torah. That the Torah can be accessible, can be achieved by anyone. And that's the Aron. So the question we're asking now is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us on Adlokas HaMenorah, which, as we said before, that's the Or of Torah, Ki Torah Or, and that's going to be the Or of all times, that I wrote Tzilach, when you already have the mitzvah of the Aron, and the Aron is the Or of Torah. And the answer is, there's a fundamental difference between the Aron and the menorah. The Torah of the Aron is Torah Shebichsav. Those are the words of the Torah that are ingrained in the Torah, that are graved, that are, chiseled out. I can't remember the word I'm looking for. It's a word with a G. Anyway, they're chiseled out in the Luchos. That's the written Torah. Mm-hmm. However, Hadlokas HaMenorah, that's already an abstract or a light that's not, you know, it's not physical, something that's tangible that you can hold on to, that reflects on Torah Shebal Peh. And this is the great Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. He says that in the menorah, there are Shisha Kanim that come out of two Tzadi HaMenorah. So we have three candles on the right, three on the left, and they represent six, the number six. Six is Torah Shebal Peh. Why is six Torah Shebal Peh? Because there are Shisha, Sidrei Mishnah, Zroim, Moed, Noshin, Nezik, and Kodesh Vitaros. The Chassam Sofer continues, and he says that in Torah Shebal Peh, there's not only Mishnah, but there's also what we call Pilpula Shel Torah. That's a more profound grasp of the Torah. That's already the deepest level of Torah Shebal Peh. He says that that is symbolized by the Kaftorim and the Prachim Shebenorah. That's the Chelik HaPilpul Shebetorah. And he has many proofs for this. So now let's take a look at the number 8. We said that Me'oz means Aleph and Zion 1 and 7. The number 1 is embodied or reflected in the Aron. Why the Aron is the Shtei Luchos HaBris, which symbolizes the Torah Shebichsav. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, and that's the first part of the Torah. However, the Torah is made up of 7 other parts. Those 7 other parts, the 7 candles of the menorah, they represent Torah Shebaal Peh. So what happens is, we start with Torah Shebichsav, and now we get to the level of Torah Shebaal Peh. And if you take a look on the top right of the last column on page 4, and go down about 6 lines, he says the following: Shegilu lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is begolui. Begolui means it's revealed. And that's the Aleph. That's the part of Torah that Hashem could give us with absolute clarity. But then we have an obligation to take the 1 over 8 and add the 7 over 8. That's the menorah. The menorah represents those parts of Torah, the 7 parts of Torah that we have to discover on our own, that we have to reveal. That's not revealed. That is the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the Pilpula Shel Torah. And when Aaron lights the menorah, he's sending a very important message to us. He's saying, look, I gave you the Luchos HaBris and the Aron, and that's Torah Shebichsav, but now I'm going to give you the Or, the light of the menorah, which is made up of 7 candles. That's the Torah Shebaal Peh. That represents the 7 chalokim of the 8 chalokim, the 7 eighths, that you have to work and toil in order to reveal and comprehend in the Torah Shebaal Peh. And this is what it means that the Medrash opens up the parasha Baloschas Haneros with the pasuk Zeh Sha'omar Akos, the pasuk in Yeshaya Hashem Chaveit Zaman Tziko Yadil Torah V'Yadir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, I'm not interested in the light. The light of the menorah is, I'm not living in darkness. You need the light. And why? Because this light is going to give you the ability to comprehend the Torah Shebaal Peh. The tachlis, the ultimate purpose of Adlakas HaMenorah is not for Hashem's light, but for our light. To create a light, a great light, that represents the Shiva Chelke HaTorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, and to expand your knowledge of Torah, that's the Zion of Me'oz, Hashem Chavit Zaman Tzidko Yadil Torah V'Yadir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Hagdolas HaTorah, the Chochmah of the Torah should not be limited to the number 1, which is the 1/8, which is the Torah Shebichsav, but rather it should be expanded through the Adlokas HaMenoros of Shiva Neros to the R of Torah Shebaal Peh, to be Mamshich, to Klal Yisrael, all the Chelke HaTorah that weren't revealed in the Torah Shebichsav. And this is the fantastic understanding of the R Gadol that Hashem is giving us access to through the menorah, through that luck of Aaron, in the Durham, in the Beis HaMikdash, but it gives us access to that R, the R of Torah Shebaal Peh throughout the centuries. Yehi Ratzon, may it be His will, that we be Zocher, Yemirtz Hashem, to link up, to connect with that R HaTorah, Ki Torah R, and be able to complete with 7/8 that part of the Torah that we have to work on and toil to reveal. And Emir Hashem will be Zocha to see the menorah in lit right here, down the block, in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, in the Heichal, after the Beis HaMikdash will be built in Heir of Yomeinu.
Amen. Oh, really appropriate shir for Shavuot.
Correct. I couldn't fit this in before Shavuot, but I figured if we're learning Baloscha, it might be a good postscript to Shavuot.